Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we get set for a big weekend of League and Cup action. Philippe Clement says he's not held any talks about his Rangers' future and believes he's shown he can get it right. Brendan Rodgers is relishing the challenge of Aberdeen ahead of the League Cup semi-finals. And speaking of which, Motherwell announced in advance 18-year-old Lennon Miller will lead the team out at Hampden. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Cammy Bell and Scott Allen. Just another quiet week of Scottish football for you two to reflect on.
Yeah, I don't think quiet quite sums up, obviously, what we've seen midweek. Now we've got the big fixtures coming this weekend and the cup ties, and I think some fans will be really excited and some will be potentially hiding behind the couch.
Everyone excited about a big weekend? I don't think every fan base out there will be, Cammy, if the previous few nights have been anything to go by.
Yeah, I think there'll be a few nerves out there, that's for sure. Certainly on Sunday as well, from the Rangers' perspective of the recent performances and results. Yeah, but it's a massive weekend, huge weekend of football.
0141 951 1025. That is the number that you need. So please do come on down, give us a call right now and let us know what you're thinking. Rangers fans, this week has been extremely busy for you, and I don't suppose we've come through the end of it yet, because Philippe Clement spoke today the first time since coming down the road from Aberdeen. Very interesting discussion between him and the media. He was asked, obviously, if he had had any talks with the board or anything about his future. Said no, absolutely not. He believes they have shown in the past that they can get it right. He says that there have been lots of good performances and wants to try and get back to that, and has a message for those that are doubting him. So I wonder if you're buying that message. Are you buying into it? Have you been won over at all? Maybe a question of, are you surprised that there's been no discussions whatsoever? Because lots of you have been calling for his head on the show this week. So what's the latest? How are you feeling ahead of the weekend? Do give us a call right now. For you Celtic fans, it's maybe just a more straightforward football discussion. You've got a big game tomorrow, a cup semi-final. Who should play? What's the centre-back pairing in there? Is it Carter Vickers and Scales? Can Austin Trusty force his way in? Who's the first choice left-back right now? Is it Greg Taylor? Is it Alex Valle? What does the midfield look like? Can Aberdeen worry you the way that they did in the second half at Celtic Park and the way that they did in the Scottish Cup semi-final at Hampden last season? Give us a call there. You Motherwell fans, how are you feeling? Because you'll have been through this before. Everyone on the outside believes Rangers are there for the taking, and this is the best chance you'll get. Is that something you agree with, or are these the ones that come back to bite you on the backside? And amongst that, 18-year-old Lennon Miller, he'll lead the team out in the absence of Stephen O'Donnell and Paul McGinn. So lots going on, and there are big league fixtures as well, so don't keep us waiting. 0141 951 1025. Got to love this stage of the cup. What, you know, whether there is drama attached or not, like, you know, in Rangers' case, this is the slightly smaller teams in Aberdeen, and the definitely smaller teams like Motherwell, where you're so close. You get your day out at Hampden and you can start to think about trying go and win the thing.
Yeah, I think it's the strength of this competition is the fact that you can have a bit of silverware before Christmas. I think that has put a different light on it in terms of the smaller clubs, as you called them, Gordon, in terms of Motherwell and Aberdeen.
That.
I think it's a real tough test for Aberdeen coming up against this Celtic side, but they have scared them. But for me, I think Celtic would have learned a lesson from the previous fixture. As for Motherwell Rangers on Sunday, I can't quite call it. I'm maybe going to go off the fact, I think if Rangers start the game well, then that would maybe release the cobwebs a Wednesday night. But if you're a Motherwell fan, even yourself, Gordon, I think you'd be confident if you get a good start and put Rangers under pressure, there might be an upset there.
I think your brain ends up working in reverse. You would rather everybody rule you out straight away, Cammy. It's easier to deal with, but forget my own personal feelings on the matter.
Yeah, no, listen, first and foremost, I'm excited about the game tomorrow night. Aberdeen are in such a good place to take on Celtic. I know they're a different beast, but they couldn't be in a better place. They're challenging Celtic this season. They had that brilliant result on Wednesday night against Rangers, so they've got to take huge confidence from that. So that's going to be an interesting one. And then Sunday, yeah, I just don't know what to make of Rangers at this moment in time. I really don't. Results aren't coming their way, certainly over the last sort of few weeks domestically. But then even just performances, I think, have been so far below what's expected at Rangers. And that's what gives me the fear on Sunday.
Yeah, what do you make of Rangers this week? And I say that broadly, Scott, because that takes in a lot. That takes in the result, the performance, maybe the comments after the performance, then the fan reaction to all of that. How would you sum it up now that we're at the end of the week?
I think for me, Philippe Clement's assessment of the game was as worrying as the performance was. I think any Rangers fan who's obviously phoned in this week and vented their frustrations, I think it's rightly so. I think the performance is not, which Cammy says, of the level expected of a Rangers player. And then the interview after it, for me, I genuinely was lost for words when I was listening to it.
But we've seen that a few times. This isn't the first time Clement's came out when interviewing. People have watched the game and seen something completely different.
Yeah.
And it is, as Scott says, that is really worrying when the manager, I think you need to front up and just come out and be honest with your assessment of the game, and they weren't good enough. Aberdeen were the better team, they won the game. Rangers had a 20 minute period in the game. That's not good enough for Rangers football.
Which was expected considering how poor the first half. Minimum you're expecting is a reaction in terms of the individual battles that they lost basically all over the park.
And they probably only got that reaction off the back of the goal. They got a little bit of momentum, but then Aberdeen weathered the storm pretty well for me.
Yep.
And were the far better team.
Come on then, 01419511025. If we're talking the game tomorrow, Celtic fans, it's a straightforward discussion about who should play and who shouldn't. An old-fashioned pre-match discussion, if you like. Rangers fans, there's a lot more to take in as far as you're concerned, I would say. We're going to hear from Philippe Clement. I know some of you are at that stage where you maybe don't even enjoy that bit, but it's an update. You know, I think everyone was keen to hear today in terms of how he felt about his position, had he had any discussions with the board or whatever. He says no. So I just wonder how you feel, if that surprises you or not, Rangers fans. Let's kick off actually with Ian, who's in Springburn. How are you, Ian?
Not bad, thanks. How are you?
Not bad. I can't complain. What are you thinking then? How would you sum up this week for your club?
Well, it's no great, mate. But the point I'm making is, at the moment, I don't think it's going to make any difference who's in that dugout for Rangers until this fiasco up the stairs stops and gets sorted. This isn't just a new thing since Philippe Clement came on. You've got other teams selling players for £25 million. Right, great business. Absolutely brilliant business. We're letting teams, players, run their contracts down and walk out their door for nothing. That's bad business. So I personally don't think it's going to be any different at this moment who's in the dugout at Ibrox Stadium.
I think for me, first and foremost, I think there's a lot of managers out there who come in and get a tune out of this side. I know in terms of individually, for me, they are downgrades in a lot of the players Rangers have had over the last few seasons, but I think you could get a manager in there who could come in, get a tune, get a structure, get the best out of what he's got and give these players a lift. Because for me, the inconsistency shows you that the work in the training ground hasn't been done, and that's now, it's getting worse as the season goes on. I know Philippe Clement said previously, wait till October and blah, 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 all the stuff that we kind of heard before. It's getting worse. That's, for me, that's the worrying thing. I think there is managers out there who could come in and get a tune out of this team and put players in positions where they think they can affect the game. Rangers, for me, it's like they're hoping to get in areas to hurt teams, and that's where I think a manager could come in and do a lot better job.
You disagree with that, Ian? Do you see what, you know, the point Scott's making in the sense that yes, he's not working under ideal circumstances, and yes, the squad isn't as strong, and yes, they don't have as much money as Celtic. So that all definitely plays a part. But is he as a manager getting the most out of what he does have?
I don't honestly think so, to be honest. Some of the players, you know, I don't think so. But I would be interested in who Scott thinks could come in, because I don't think it'd make a difference, you know, at the moment until that debacle all up the stairs. We've no business heed. You know, I mean, and that announcement during the week about the £17 million, I've got serious concerns where Rangers are going. Serious concerns.
I understand the concerns in terms of the fanning, but just from my own experience, and I think Cammy will maybe be able to back me up on this, when you're a player in a club and obviously now helping at coaching at a much lower level, but seeing things that go on in the background, I think as a player first and foremost, all players care about is, are they getting paid at the end of the month and are they playing at the weekend? And that's the only thing you can affect is what you do in a training part. I've never been in any changing room, but players are sitting in there saying to each other, we need to get a CEO in here so we can get a performance at the weekend. That just doesn't happen. Players do not think like that. I think it's something that the manager can maybe grasp onto to give them a bit of leeway in terms of performances, but as a player, your job's on the training pitch, and until things start affecting you in terms of clubs getting into administration, not getting paid, that's when you start thinking about what's happening upstairs. But up until that, your job's Monday to Friday and then your match day on a Saturday. Are you playing? Are you training well? And that's how you can affect it. So for me, the stuff upstairs is maybe a bit of an excuse that Philippe Clement is using to protect himself.
Listen, the stuff up the stairs, and I agree with Ian that they need to sort it out up the stairs, it will affect Philippe Clement, because again, he needs to have conversations with, I was at Rangers through a difficult period, and I know it affected Ali McCoist when he was there. His relationship wasn't great with the people who were above him, so it will affect the manager. I agree with Scott, doesn't affect the players. The players want to get on the pitch and play football. For me, I agree with Scott that a manager can come in there and have a structured team. They've got good players there. There's no getting away from it. They're still good enough to go and get a result up at Pittodrie for me, if they have got a style of play. At the moment, they've not under the manager, and that is the biggest worrying thing for me, looking at Rangers going forward. They've had over 12 months to get a style of play implemented into that Rangers team, and it's just not happened.
Because that is probably the point, isn't it? I feel like we're coming at it from two different angles. Ian is obviously right. If you were to drop your dream set of circumstances to work under, I don't think this would be it, where you've had to cut the wage bill, bring in unproven players or players with a lower profile, not have a CEO, have an interim chairman. Nobody's pretending that's ideal. So if that's...
I still think the recruitment could have been better with the money they spent.
That's what I'm saying. So that might be a legitimate reason. In fact, I'm certain that's a legitimate reason as to why it's very difficult to then keep pace with Celtic, who have all those things and who are doing all those things and have more money. But can you be a better version of yourself just when you go on the pitch at the weekend? And that's the bit.
Training ground match day.
That's the bit that will have to come back on any manager, surely.
That for me is what Philippe Clement's job is, on the training pitch on a Saturday, Sunday, whenever it may be. Can he get the best out of his players that he's got on the pitch and available to him? I know he's had injuries here and there, but like Cammy says, they have enough players and quality in that squad. If you get a structure and something for the players to get into better areas, which we see clubs with much less budgets and other sort of situations, they do it better, and they're doing it better than Rangers. Aberdeen were in a completely different situation come the start of the season. They lost their best player in Majovski, and now look at them, because our manager's come in organised, and you can see the work he's doing is now paying off on the pitch.
Because is that part of the problem, Cammy? I know Planet Glasgow, no one will admit it, and second is nowhere, all these types of things that here, but I think deep down, Rangers fans would accept is definitely the wrong word, but maybe understand that in this circumstance, with whatever's in the boardroom, with the lack of finance, with the downsizing of the squad, it probably is difficult to keep up with Celtic. But right now, can't keep up with Aberdeen currently. So I know that might be a short term thing, we'll wait and see, but that's why this week's a real issue, isn't it? Because it's not just about trying to keep up with Celtic currently.
No, and I think what the issue is as well is they've recently been beat off Kilmarnock. So again, that's fresh in your mind in the league. And then they've went and had a huge game against Aberdeen, knowing what was on the line, and lost at Pittodrie. It was never going to be an easy game, because Aberdeen are a good side, but I firmly believe Rangers have the players in the squad to go there and win. And I just think the style, lack of style of play, lack of ideas on the pitch, is really showing. And I sometimes look at Rangers and wonder what they're doing on the training pitch. I genuinely do.
Let's thank Ian for his time, and let's hear from the man in question, Philippe Clement. He says he's very confident he will remain as Rangers manager. That's despite not having any discussions with the board following Wednesday.
I'm very confident about that, because that was also the really clear message to step in a story for longer term. They knew everything about the numbers, about what was necessary, and I don't want to repeat all these things. I think I said it enough. And what consequences it can have. And it's about small margins. Like last season, taking those margins and making it better. Better again. Last season, we turned it around in a really short period in that way. I'm convinced that can happen now also. But of course, I wish it was in Aberdeen that we took the victory there. That would have been the big step forward. I know in which project I started in June. It was another project than I started in October. So those things were less clear. We had this talk in June that it was a really, really big challenge. That's why there were also negotiations about the contract and what to do in that way from both sides. And we're gonna continue working on that. Of course, I have belief in all these people because it was all board together. It was not only one person. It was all board together going for this story because the story from before was not sustainable. They didn't want to go back to 2012 where the club was bankrupt. It's never about no matter what. It's about we know how difficult it will be and we're going to stick together and we're going this project together for the next couple of years. So that's been clearly talked about. Of course, I know if you lose 10 games in a row and all the players, they don't want to work with you, then there's an environment that you cannot work to. But that's totally not the case.
Let's bring in Colin, who's a Rangers fan, on the line. Colin, I know many people were looking at the last couple of days and maybe wondering if there would be change, expecting it, but it doesn't sound like it. You would take him at face value there. So does that surprise you?
Definitely. I phoned up last week and I had a bit of a rant. Didn't really give you guys a chance to talk to me.
You're more important than us. You carry on.
Right, so one of the main points I made last week was, and I've said this pretty much to all my mates, and one of my best mates, a Celtic fan as well, and we've spoken about it and all the rest of it, and now Chris Boyd and Sutton speaking about it. But I've been saying it from the beginning. What happened to the days where you would put a team out and you know your first 11? And I know we've had all the excuses about the injuries and everything like that, blah, 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 but you still had enough players to put out. This season, definitely. But since he's came to Ibrox, he's never played the same team twice, ever. And the players, again, swap positions every week. Now, you could name pretty much Brendan Rodgers' team. You could pretty much name the Aberdeen team, the Kilmarnock team. The Rangers players themselves, I think, 2 or 3 days before a game, don't know where they're going to be playing. You know, don't know if they're where they're going to be playing, if they're going to be playing. And, you know, I was brought up in an era where it was nothing to do with this minutes, minutes, minutes that you keep speaking about. It was your best players play. The other good players you've got have got to force their way into the team. It wasn't about minutes. It was about forcing your way into the team. And you kept yourself fat on the bench, ready for somebody to lose form. But the starting 11 was your strongest, and you had to force your way in. It's not like that with Clement. He reminds me of a PE teacher or something. Just every single week, he's constantly changing, talking about rest, talking about, you know, this, that, and the next thing. What do you think about this constant, every single week since he's came to Ibrox, changing the team around positions and everything like that, and try, you know, talking about minutes all the time? This player can play 60 minutes, this one can play 20 minutes. It's just, and I've never heard anything like it in my life. I mean, Walter Smith, one last thing, Walter Smith brought Mark Haley back, I think, what was it, for one game, you know, against Celtic, and a goalkeeper. I mean, what do you think of this? It's just unbelievable.
No, I think from my point of view, Colin, obviously from the outward looking in, I think the minutes and the amount of times he's went back and the amount of reliability he has in his medical staff, which is quite surprising for a manager of Rangers to kind of say so much in interviews. I think the fact that Tierney's maybe available for the weekend but wasn't ready for Wednesday, if it was down to minutes, why not say give us 60 minutes on Wednesday? At that moment in time, it's the biggest game Rangers season. He then doesn't play, not part of the squad, but he's now going to be fit for Sunday. So I think you've got a valid point in terms of that. I think in terms of chopping and changing, the inconsistency in terms of player performances maybe played a huge part in that. I think if we go from 1 week to the next, who's had a good game? And I think if I was to ask you, which Rangers' best team? You'd be scratching your head trying to find out what you think the best team is.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with Scott. I think that I don't think Clermont knows his best team. I don't think anybody knows Rangers' best team at this moment in time because of the inconsistent performances individually. But again, is he allowing the team to settle? I look at the back four, obviously being an ex-goalkeeper. That's chopping and changing your back four. Yes, there's going to be injuries. It's not ideal. You want to have a settled back four. You want to the back four to work with each other and the goalkeeper. It's just not ideal at Rangers at this moment in time. So I totally agree with Colin that I think probably a big part of it is that he doesn't know his best team at this moment in time, which we're 10 games into the season domestically. He said more than that with cup games and European games, and he still doesn't know his best team.
It's a fair criticism. Thank you very much to Colin from Troon. What did you make of what you just heard there from Philippe Clermont? Sounded pretty defiant. Didn't sound like a man who felt he was on the brink. I know some of you disagree with that notion, so do let us know. Pick up the phone. We'll look ahead to the rest of the games this weekend as well, and we'll do that next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and Cammy Bell in the building. A huge weekend, and we're still getting over the midweek as well. So much happening. Do give us a call. Eddie is a Rangers fan. How's it going, Eddie?
Oh, fine. I've been better.
I was going to say, you just about mustered a fine there, didn't you? I can understand. What in particular is annoying you?
So I was at the game on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. I was actually sitting in the director's box about, would you believe it or not, I work for the Aberdeen main sponsor, Texo. Anyway, what's annoying me is, I don't think there's any doubt, Rangers Kilmarnock game, Aberdeen, that we've got better players, player for player. Maybe Aberdeen, there's a couple you could argue there. And I think you can see that it's just down to the way we're playing and the way the manager. And Phil Clermont seems a decent guy, but he keeps on going on about, I've just been watching his interview on the television there, and he's going on about last season, how things turned so quickly and get so better. You know, we had the league in our hands last season. We blew it against Ross County and Dundee. And I'm sitting watching the game on Wednesday, and there's just nothing. There's no style of play, and I think it is just the manager. I think my players are better than what they are. They're not great. Don't get me wrong. I didn't expect to win the league this year. I thought it was Celtic's league, and I was believing him. Yeah, we need to build. We need to build. If there's a project on the go, but it's not. There's no project on the go. We're sinking fast, and we're sinking very fast under Clermont. And I do think that there needs to be a change. And I just hope, I was looking across at the board of the directors, the Rangers game in the director's box, and there was glum faces there. And I just hope these guys are looking just now who's going to replace them.
You know, look, I know Rangers fans are at that stage where they're maybe not that interested in what he's saying. But to boring people like me who hang on every word of it, the clip we played, and he's right to reference there about that project. So Philippe Clermont said, you know, when he signed his new contract, that then was a different project from the one that he took on in October. You know, so he is trying to be very, very clear about how the goalposts have shifted, or whatever the right phrase would be. You know, you are just dealing with a smaller budget, you're dealing with less experienced players, all that sort of stuff. But then, as the caller says, that probably is still a bit separate from just that 90 minutes. What does it look like? What's the style?
But again, this is again what Scott said before as well, though. They've got players and they should be performing much better on the pitch than what they are. There's no style of play. I think it's difficult when you're in a team. I've been in a team before, I'm pretty sure you have, where you've not really worked on a lot of style of play, patterns of play, the way you're going to win a game of football. It's just general training during the week.
Everything's hopeful at the weekend that someone's going to produce
moments. I look at Rangers and that's exactly what they are. They're hoping for a James Tavernier free kick, a penalty, Tom Lawrence to put one in the top corner. That's where they're at the moment. There's no, or Cherney who's done it recently, but there's no real pattern to play, style of play where you say that's how they're going to go and get a goal. And that is the big worry. Yes, I agree what Eddie's saying, that Rangers do have better players than Aberdeen, but not at this moment in time. The Aberdeen players, for me, I look at Aberdeen and go, how many of the Rangers players would actually get in the Aberdeen team on form? at this moment in time, I don't think there'd be many.
Would Dessers play over the three Aberdeen strikers? Papagay, Nisbet,
Sokler.
No, I don't think he brings.
It's incredible.
Well, things have changed very quickly then, because remember we used the whole the staple of that debate here is what Rangers players get into the Celtic team. You're now introducing what Rangers players.
I know, but that's where we're at after 10 games.
I mean, Eddie, hearing from Philippe. Yeah, you carry on.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with guys are saying there. Like, so watching the game on Wednesday, there's no one of the Rangers players, apart from maybe Raskin, would have got into that Aberdeen team. But what I'm saying in general, when you look at the Aberdeen players, it's the manager that's turning the Aberdeen players into better players than what the Rangers players are. The Rangers players that are there, you can't like say Cherney, okay, wasn't he playing, but Barami, you know, Balogun, you know, Butland, Raskin, player for player in general, Rangers have got better players than Aberdeen. However, their manager has turned their players into better players.
100%.
What Rangers players are, and you've got to look at it. And I hate barring Rangers managers. We've always prided ourselves in just not getting into this trap of sacking manager after manager. But from what I can see in his interviews, you know, I just cringe now, and it's a shame. It's a shame for him. And I say to myself, surely the board have got to be looking at something. And if we do go for another manager, he's got to be Scottish. I think Scottish or British. I look at the guy, John Eustace, who we missed out on.
Just quickly, Eddie, what makes you say that when you've just referenced and praised Jimmy Tilleen?
Yeah, Jimmy Tilleen. I know, but I just think at the stage Rangers are at just now, we just seem to need, whether Clement's brought that on me, we still, I just think we need a Scottish British manager that just knows the Scottish league. Because Rangers, you see what Rangers do in Europe. We go out and we seem to play really well in Europe, and then we come back into Scottish league, and it's as if the players just want to stroll about. Oh, this is a Scottish league. Scottish Premier League is a difficult league to play in. You've seen loads of players, good players, come up here, and they just can't do it. It's physical, it's fast, and we just haven't got those players doing that at the moment. And you know, it's soul destroying to watch for me.
Is there a, you know, we're talking about whatever group, whatever 11 it is, can you get more out of them? Are you now seeing question marks about recruitment though? And again, understanding that it's a different market and Rangers, you know, aren't been able to push the boat out the way that they would like to. But take someone like Robin Proper as an example, you know, for him not to be able to be trusted, if that's the right word, to play that game the other night, that must be a worry.
Yeah, it's a huge worry, among other. I think the main problem here is Jimmy Tilleen has came in and made players who weren't performing for Aberdeen last year, he's made the players better. I can't think of any Rangers player that Philippe Clement has made a better football. And that's where we come down. Me and Cam talk about what's happening on the training pitch. That's the proof's in the pudding. Who has he improved as a player? I don't think anybody.
No, I agree. I think that's, for me, I've always measured it as a manager. If you can improve players, that's when you're a good manager. And as Scott says, that you look at the Rangers players, some of them have went backwards for me personally when I look at them. I don't think, certainly at this moment in time, that I know they've not got a lot of confidence, but I just think the style of play or lack of style of play is affecting the players as well.
Thank you to Eddie. Let's hear more from Philippe Clement. He says Rangers are improving, unlike you two believe, both on and off the field, even if fans can't see it yet, but he hopes that they can spark a turnaround this weekend.
I know which project I started in June. It was another project than I started in October. So those things were less clear. We had this talk in June that it was a really, really big challenge. That's why there were also negotiations about the contract and what to do in that way from both sides. I have belief in all these people because it was all board together. It was not only one person. It was all board together going for this story because the story from before was not sustainable. They didn't want to go back to 2012 where the club was bankrupt. It's now the start of a better period. And you don't see it in results now. Yes, that's true. It's totally true. But there is a foundation now being built for the future, for a more healthy club to grow out of that. And everybody knew it was not possible in one transfer window. Every loss is a drama. It's a really bad thing. Things can change really fast. And we're working really hard on that.
It sounds like, and I'll leave it to you to decide whether it's right or wrong or appropriate, but it sounds like you're really trying to pull expectations down. Is that fair? You know, if we're now referencing 2012, you know, and you've got to be careful, don't go back. Is that what that is? Is that trying to?
So is he saying that Rangers aren't title challengers anymore? Is that what the remit was?
Well, I think it's just that message of, again, whether you agree or not, I'm not saying this is valid, but it's that it sounds like it's that, yeah, managing expectations, realise that this is where we're at, so to speak, and I don't think the Rangers fans will really enjoy that, will we?
No, I don't think so. I think he's leaving it, again, I get what he's doing, that he's making it clear that when he came in that there probably was to go and win the league. Sounds like that when he signed his new contract, the remit wasn't that we're not challenging anymore, purely on probably financial basis of what they can bring in. But I still think, I look at the recruitment, they can bring in better players than they have. And that's the big thing. They have spent money in the summer, and the players they've brought in aren't good enough, or haven't shown that in this period of time.
What about with 10 minutes to go on Wednesday night? Why not play two up?
Yeah.
So he swaps Igamani with Des. Why not go two up? Something this, even the in-game management for me isn't of a level which would be expected. Go and have a go, put two up. Rangers' biggest threats in terms of creativity over the last 4 or 5 seasons has been down the sizing, getting crosses in the box. He swaps the two strikers and doesn't go two up, and that's all adding together. That's what you get on a match day, and why the performances for me have just been so inconsistent, because it's so off the cuff on the side, and it's so off the cuff in terms of how they're trying to play.
I think you look at the two teams on Wednesday night, and it just shows you how important a manager is. I think for me, Rangers have good players, but they're not showing it, and I think the manager's got to take a big responsibility of that because of the way they're playing at the moment, the style. Whereas Jimmy Tillins came on, we spoke about, Scott hit the nail on the head, that he's improved players. That's how important a manager is.
Tom, what's your take on it all?
Hi, good evening, panel. Thanks for taking my call. And Gordon, a big apologies to yourself, because I've phoned in a couple of times and I always get your name mixed up because of you've got the...
Oh, don't worry, I can call me whatever you like, I don't mind. I don't mind, you carry on.
No, apologies. Is it Cammy and Simon it's on, is it?
Nearly, you're doing so well. Cammy and Scott, I don't know if he was... I thought you were joking there, maybe, Tom, but it's Cammy and Scott.
No, I'd missed the start of the programme. I'm an avid listener. Anyway, I never thought I'd hear myself saying this tonight, you know, because I supported the guy, Philip Clement, and away at the start, he'd changed good players into, you know, because Lowstrom at one time, you know, he was running out of steam. Then Philip Clement comes in and he changed a few players at that particular time last season. But I don't know what kind of game he's watching just now, Gordon. It's especially on Sunday. If he thinks that was, how can you say, one of the best games this season? No, not for me. 20 minutes, and I'll tell you how bad it was, panel. Was my wife, we're sitting watching the game, and my wife struggles to know the offside sort of problem, you know. She struggles with that, and she says, Tom, look, why is he not changing McCausland? Because I thought young McCausland had a really bad game. I like the boy, but he hardly touched the ball. It was good as a man doing in the first half. I says, well, he's got to change it. And lo and behold, because as I says to David, the production guy, why are we signing guys like Sterling? I feel so sorry for that guy. Put on a longer term contract, and the boy never starts the game. He's lucky if he gets 20 minutes here or there, and he's not got a sell position in that team. You know, he's either playing in defence, midfield, or up front. I just like, you know, the panel's thinking on it, because in one other point, Gordon, is mathematically, just between Celtic and Aberdeen, we can actually finish if we keep Philip Clement in the position he's in, 25 points behind him at the end of the season. 25 points.
I mean, it's so difficult to know, isn't it? Because of how much football still to be played. But clearly, the table right now, Rangers are closer to eighth than they are to second. So that tells a bit of a story. What about Tom's other points? You recognise a lot of what he's saying?
Yeah, listen, he touched on Sterling. For me, Sterling is a decent player, but I think I've said this before, that he's not found a position that can actually harm a player when they're getting chopped and changed from being a right back to, he's played centre half to centre mid. In a game, he'll never get a good run of games if he doesn't nail down one position. But I just feel like at this moment in time, there's a lot of players that are underperforming. But I still reflect back to the manager. I really do. The style of play, I think, really affecting a lot of the players that are on the pitch at the moment.
Thank you, Tom. It's a good time to call. Celtic fans, Aberdeen fans, you have a big cup semi-final of your own. I wonder how you're feeling ahead of it. Give us a shout, please, whilst I tell you about this. Win an explosive £250,000. The big prizes just keep on coming here. £250,000 again up for grabs. Enter now while it's on your mind. All that cash could be in your bank account this time next week. And again, another guaranteed winner. Someone will win the lot. It might as well be you. That's the way to think about it. Text YES to 61025. Texts are 250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter on our website for 250 or call 0330 880 4523 with the calls charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only. All the rules for this Rayo network competition are on our website. There is no phrase, no amount to remember. Don't worry about five rings and all that sort of stuff. Just answer your phone and the £250,000 would be yours. Text YES to 61025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to at Clyde SSB on X now. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Cammy Bell and Scott Allen are here for company on your Friday night. 0141 951 1025. So much reaction still to Wednesday night, or maybe reaction to Wednesday sort of merging into a bigger picture for all the Rangers fans calling. Still plenty of time for that between now and 8 o'clock, so keep your thoughts coming. Maybe you're agreeing or disagreeing with what you've heard. Let's hear from Brendan Rodgers in the meantime though. He says Celtic have learned from their meeting with Aberdeen last month ahead of tomorrow's League Cup semi-final.
That showed us that if you're slack and you're not concentrated and you're defending, you're not committed and you're defending, that they've got quality players that can hurt you. And you've seen that with the two goals that they scored, especially the first one. So that has to be a learning for us, and it will be. It's a semi-final, and everyone who goes into a semi-final, you want to get to the final. So we're really looking forward to it. We're in a really good place as a squad and as a team, and we know the challenges of the semi-finals, but we're looking forward to performing.
How could you not look forward to that, Cammy? If you're going to get a cup semi-final, it might as well be between the two teams that are at the top, who are only separated in goal difference and who served up quite an incredible draw in Glasgow not that long ago.
Yeah, it'll be brilliant. As I said before, I'm really looking forward to that game. Aberdeen are in great form, but I think Celtic, what Brendan Rodgers says there, they've learnt a lot from that game at Parkhead, where they were 2-0 up, and you watched that game, they were cruising it in the first half, and you never ever seen that turnaround coming. Probably a little bit of slackness on Celtic's behalf coming in, but it just shows you a team like Aberdeen can hurt you. So I'm looking forward to that tomorrow night.
Let's bring in Gavin, who's a Celtic fan. Gavin, does the Celtic Park game and maybe even the semi-final last season, does that worry you? Do you think Aberdeen could cause a shock tomorrow, or very much fancying Celtic?
Good morning, Paddle. Pleased to meet you and all that. Like, second time caller, phoned a few morning. Years ago. The games at the weekend, Celtic, Aberdeen, I think it's got to be a great game. For Scottish football, it's got to be a classic. Both teams on form, top teams at the top of the table. I'm just reckon it's got to be a smashing game. And then on to the Rangers, I reckon they could take the Rangers this weekend. And it should set us up for a good Clyde One on Monday night. Yeah.
We'll be on Saturday and Sunday as well. Gavin, Brendan Rodgers there saying, you know, Celtic have learned from Aberdeen drawing 2-2 with them. Do you expect this one to be more straightforward for Celtic than that one?
Well, Now that Brendan's actually got to see Aberdeen firsthand and how they play, I reckon he'll have Jimmy Teelan's car smart here. And great manager, by the way, here. Two's up to Aberdeen for everything they're doing this season. Like, it's fantastic for Scottish football. Yes, but I think Celtic, with the quality that we've got, we will prevail. Yes.
Yeah, for me, I think Celtic's strong favourites. I think if we're going off lessons learned in this season for Celtic, the two results has been obviously Aberdeen and Borussia Dortmund. And when they went to Atalanta, we've seen that they learned a lesson from that. So no question for me, Celtic, strong favourites still. Aberdeen on obviously a great run of form. And in fact, we don't even call it form now. They just look like a proper side who could do a lot of good things this season. But I still think a Celtic team, when they're playing at their best, Carter Vickers obviously coming back into the squad makes them a lot stronger in my eyes. I think it'll be still an upward task for Aberdeen to get something.
Because if you analyse that game in particular, Cammy, you can also make a case that, you know, Celtic, you know, you could have been out of sight, and then maybe yeah. Celtic fans use that as a sort of proof that they will show Aberdeen or whatever at the weekend. But then, quite rightly, Aberdeen would point to the character every time. You know, people doubt them every time. People write them off this season. They find their way back.
Yeah, absolutely. They'll go into that game with full belief. As I say, Wednesday will have played a huge part in the belief going on that they can take on the Old Firm. Aberdeen can score goals. That's what I would say. Celtic need to make sure they're fully concentrated, because they are a threat at the top end of the pitch. Again, in that game at Parkhead, Duke had the goal that was chopped off for handball, which was rightly so chopped off. But there was. Celtic almost looked as if they were on the ropes a little bit in that second half. I do believe Celtic have far better players, but the spirit, the character around this Aberdeen team at the moment is a real threat. So Celtic will have to be at their best to win the game.
I mean, even going back to last season, though, I mean, Aberdeen had started. They had started to tick, but obviously not as good as they are now. And went to penalties. Joe Hart hit one off the post.
So Celtic weren't as good as they are now either, though.
Yeah, you think they're obviously a marked improvement?
Yeah, marked improvement on both sides. I just feel, like I said, I think Celtic learned the two games has been obviously Aberdeen and the Dortmund game. They learned a lesson from the Dortmund game away to Atalanta. They've seen a completely different type of performance, which shows progress in the group and what Brendan Rodgers is doing there. So I think they'll have the same lessons learned from the home tie that they played against Aberdeen.
What will Celtic's centre-back pairing be?
Scales and Carter Vickers.
No doubt.
No doubt.
Easy.
Yep.
Left-back?
Greg Taylor for me.
Same.
Boring. Argue each other. No, stir up. Alex Vai. We've got Alex Vai's dad on the phone who thinks otherwise. No chance. They keep one of those. Keep trusty or Vai.
I'd be surprised. I think the Scales and Carter Vickers combination, especially early in the season, was excellent. Carter Vickers for me, best centre-back in the league. And Greg Taylor, I think, does get dealt a bit of harsh treatment sometimes in terms of defensively. For me, the attacking wise, he had so much as well. I think he's a better player for me.
I really like Greg Taylor. I do. I think he does get a little bit of stick off of Celtic fans at times. But again, it's a good problem for Celtic to have. Trusty coming in, he's done really well since he's came in. Quite like him. So as we know that Carter Vickers picks up injuries now and again, so it's a good area. They've got good cover now, it looks like.
Thank you very much to Gavin. What a quick hour that was. Let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Now, I'm not saying last night's Beat the Pundit was a shambles, but let's just say there was a certain 62-year-old pundit dressed as an inflatable chicken who fell off his seat during Beat the Pundit and somehow still won. So it should... Check it out on YouTube and all that sort of stuff if you fancy it. But it should be more straightforward tonight. Give us a call before 7 o'clock if you want to try and beat the pundit. It would be you against Scott Allen or Cammy Bell for the chance to win a signed ball, and more importantly, of course, the bragging rights to take into the weekend. So give us a shout, and your chance to beat the pundit is next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen is here. Cammy Bell is alongside them, both waiting for you to get in touch. So please do, on the usual number. So much said, like every night this week, really, and I suspect it'll go on for a bit. about Rangers, and Philippe Clement, he said today, no discussions at all with the board about his position. He is very confident he can turn things around. He says, look at what we did last season as proof that he can turn things around. So what do you make about that? What are the latest thoughts on it, Rangers fans? Football wise, big weekend. Motherwell for Rangers in the League Cup semi, Celtic v Aberdeen, the two informed teams in the league. Big games in the domestic, the league competition, sorry, as well. So do give us a call on any of the above or anything else at all, and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Mark is on the line. How are you, Mark?
Hi there, how you doing, boys?
All good here. Ever played before?
No, first time caller, so just please be gentle.
Would you rather play Scott Allen, Cammy Bell, or a man dressed as an inflatable chicken?
Can I play Scott, please?
I don't know what that says. Actually, I don't know what that means. Did you see him last night?
The inflatable chicken.
Inflatable chicken.
Oh, yeah, incredible, brilliant.
Honestly,
he's carrying the show on his own.
So I was a bit. Days. I was late in. So I hadn't seen the chicken. Like genuinely, I didn't really know. I knew he would obviously have something.
Yeah.
But I hadn't seen it.
Did he bring the outfit?
Again, I genuinely don't know. It wouldn't surprise me, but I was that late in yesterday. And anyway, he goes out during that news break that we've just had, and his Beat the Pundit starts. He comes in dressed as the inflatable chicken, and I'm a really bad laugher. I'm an ugly laugher, and see, once I start, I do quite find it hard to rein it back in. So I'm laughing enough as it is, trying to set up Beat the Pundit. He then falls completely off that chair down. See, Mark Wilson tries to get him up. He's then sitting with the big inflatable suit on. He can't get the headphones on over it. Carnage, an absolute shambles, and he still won on Beat the Pundit. So let's see how it goes tonight. Much more straightforward. Two men far too stylish to be seen in an inflatable chicken outfit. Were you roped into Halloween stuff last night? You've both got youngsters.
Yeah.
What were the costumes?
Oh well, my wee boy's only four, so he was Harry Potter.
My
little girl's 10, but she didn't want to do it with, so she done it with her pals. She was.
Are kids too cool now at 10?
Yeah,
it's getting there.
It was. She went as a pirate or something. I don't know.
But not with you.
No, wouldn't go.
Disowned.
With me. Aye, that's it.
Two good solid options. What's your, you've got a wee boy?
9 year old Eminem, he went.
That's got to be you that's inspired that.
No, I think.
How do 9 year olds?
Quite a lot of them. I think it's on. Do you know how they do the updates on Fortnite? And Eminem was in one of the games, and that's how a lot of the kids are into Eminem now.
Now, usually you spend Friday nights with Hugh Keevans in here. Imagine you just said to him, you know how they do an update on Fortnite? Said that sentence to him, his head would explode. But anyway, I'm sure he's listening, and we'll speak to him tomorrow. Right, Mark, I'll toss the coin. Heads, it will be Cammy. Tails, it's Scott Allen. And it is heads, it's Cammy Bell up against Mark from Coatbridge. So what we do is give Cammy something else to listen to. Mark, I know it's your first time, so straightforward, 30 seconds, answer as many as you can, and just pass if you do not know the answer, okay?
Okay, okay.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Who did Rangers face in last year's League Cup semi-final? Dougie Imrie manages which club?
Is it Greenock?
What was Henrik Larsson's squad number at Celtic?
7.
True or false, every current Premiership team has won the League Cup?
False.
What was the last team Neil Critchley managed before Hearts?
Blackpool.
Name any of the two teams that featured in the last League Cup final that didn't feature Celtic or Rangers.
Motherwell.
If a mouthful that question at the end, but we got it in just in time. Let's bring back Cammy. Can you hear us, Cammy?
Yes, all good.
Same set of questions to you. 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Who did Rangers face in last year's League Cup semi-final?
Pass.
Dougie Imrie manages which club?
Morton.
What was Henrik Larsson's squad number at Celtic?
7.
True or false, every current Premiership team has won the League Cup?
True.
Who was the last team Neil Critchley managed before Hearts?
Pass.
Name any of the two teams that featured in the last League Cup final that didn't feature Celtic or Rangers.
Kilmarnock.
Who was the last Scottish manager of Man United?
Sir Alex Ferguson.
Oh, God, no.
Cammy.
Moisey. Oh, no.
He's got his head in his hands. Here. That's when he knows. See that? That's the YouTube.
Did I have a stinker?
That's the YouTube thumbnail, you with your head in your hands. Let's find. Mark, how did it feel first time in the.
I felt great. I think I can get that on there, David Moyes.
How did I say that?
Let's.
Mark, I've gave you one there. Anyways,
well,
Jesus.
Listen, you don't know. Let's go through. I do find questions like this really hard for some reason. This would be my least favourite type. You know, who did Rangers face in last year's League Cup semi? Because I would have been either there or had it on in here. But under time pressure, Hearts.
So it was, yeah.
Hearts. So Aberdeen in the final. Yeah. I think I just about recall that. So anyway, 0-0. You both got Dougie Emery, who manages Greenock Morton. I wonder if this... How far do you think you'd need to go across Scottish football to find someone who didn't know Henrik Larsson's number was 7? You need to go pretty...
number?
Yeah.
I bet it's it is, Mark. I bet it is. You both got it. Well done. 2-2. True or false, every current Premiership team has won the League Cup. It is true. True.
Was
good
yes.
knowledge. Well, yes. I suppose like
the question was long, so I just want to do it the way.
But once you take in the obvious ones, and then you just go for a couple of like the Ross County have, St. Johnson have, and yeah, pretty much, of course, the rest have at some point. So Cammy goes one in front. However, Blackpool was Neil Critchley's last.
That as well.
Stop off before we are level. I sympathy for this because, again, I think under time pressure, it's quite a long question and it's a lot to take in. I think if you had time, you'd both probably get this. Name any of the two teams that featured in the last League Cup final that didn't have Celtic or Rangers in it.
St Johnstone.
Well, Livy. Just St Johnstone, Livy. Remember it? Well, obviously, St Johnstone won it.
Yep.
Which means, Cammy, all you needed to do.
Silly. I've just gifted it to Matt.
Like, it's the.
Come on, Cammy,
I'm trying to think the goalkeeping equivalent. It's just it's a rubbish wee cross into the box.
It's a last
94th minute.
Gaff.
You just need to. Just take it. Just take it and just do that thing that goalies do. Fall down, waste a bit of time. It was David Moyes, the last Scottish manager of Man United.
Stinker.
Right, do you know, we've not had a tiebreaker in ages, so I'm quite excited by this.
Is it a tiebreaker? I thought it was beating you.
No, it's a tiebreaker, isn't it? Yeah, three each.
Is it?
Yes, somebody keep me
okay,
right.
Okay, no. I'll take it.
I thought you were beat.
No.
So that.
Cammy got Morton. Henrik Larsson and the true.
Who's refereeing this?
Me. And Mark got Morton, Henrik Larsson and Blackpool. We're fine.
Did he not get to Alex Ferguson?
No, he didn't get that far.
Got a lifeline.
Steady you. Okay. Right. Not the tiebreaker, they just love this. Right. Oh, Cammy loves the championship. How many goals have been scored in the championship so far this season? Mark, don't tell me yet. I'll get Cammy to write his answer down. How many goals scored in the championship so far this season? Write it down, please. He's trying to figure it out. I'll give you a 3, 2, 1. Write it. Mark, what's your attempt?
25.
What's wrong with you two? How many goals?
Go on, Mark.
How many goals?
Doesn't matter. Listen, I've wrote one down.
No, we can't give. Nobody can win from that.
There is a winner, Gordon.
Hold on a minute.
There's a winner.
How many goals?
A winner and loser
in the entire championship. You said 38.
That's all right.
He said 25.
And how many is it?
115.
Who's the winner?
What?
Who's the winner?
What do you mean, what, Mark?
Who's
it's November.
Who's the winner?
You've won.
There we go. I've won. Up the road.
How many games have there been
Doesn't
in the championship?
How many games have you done the punditry in?
I know. 38.
Oh my word, Mark.
Thanks,
that's
Mark.
The worst tiebreaker of all time. Hardlines.
Okay.
What are you expecting from your team? Mark, I hope if it goes to penalties like this tomorrow, I hope for your sake Celtic are a bit better than that.
I'm not playing. I'll not be picking the team tomorrow anyway.
How are you looking forward to it, I take it?
Yeah, I've got a ticket. Me and my kids, my wife are going. Really looking forward to it. I think it'll be a tough game. I think Aberdeen, the 2-each game, listen, they're a good side, well organised, well drilled. But I just think the quality that Celtic have got, and I think they've learned from the last of it, and they've rested players as well. So you've got McGregor to come back, you'll have Vickers back, I think Taylor will start tomorrow, Hatate, Maeda. I just think we're too quick, too strong, too good, really, and then.
Look, Celtic have obviously got greater options anyway. Does the Wednesday night factor for Aberdeen? Coming to again another.
They're playing against a completely different. You're playing, now playing against a side with quality and structure and identity. And
no, but what I mean is, you know, like if we're saying Aberdeen at their very peak have shown, you know, and they can catch Celtic out at times, does that become harder when you've played Rangers at Pittodrie on Wednesday night and everything went into it?
In terms of physically?
Yeah, just, you know, because Celtic can do, as Mark says, you know, Luke McCowan will come out and we're talking about Trusty or Scales or Taylor or Vi.
not when you're in the form you're in. I think when you're in a team like Aberdeen just now, week by day, guys will be desperate to play every week. That's why I think the physicality thing kind of doesn't come into it, because of the confidence they're on. They're looking forward to every single game at the moment.
It's a semi-final as well. The players will be absolutely what a opportunity they've got for a final, and a final that they'll be looking at. If they can get past Celtic, they probably fancy themselves to go on and win it.
Yeah, Mark, who would you, is Scales and Carter Vickers your best option back there? Yeah. Is that going to be harsh on Trusty or?
Listen, Trusty's come in, he's done really well. He's done well in Europe against Atalanta. We're getting clean sheets. He's put himself right in. But I think we'll go with Vickers and Scales. I think they're tried and trusted. And I just think we've got too much power. And listen, Aberdeen had a great result the other night against a team that's struggling, but we could afford to like rest players. I think there was something like six players or something rested over the last night. So we can afford to do that. And I think Aberdeen's put a lot of effort and energy into their game against Rangers, but I just think Celtic are too much.
Again, this is sort of hard to argue with that, isn't it? Because we're not. It was a good debate the other night about who sees who as favourites going up to Rangers and Aberdeen, you know, and it was a real split that I think, even though they're tied at the top for all the reasons on points, all the reasons Mark said, Celtic are still obviously favourites, but Aberdeen just, it's amazing how maybe it is a sort of chicken and egg thing, Cammy and Scott, where what comes first, is it like the actual quality or the belief, you know, did they breed each other sort of thing, because they seem to have both, don't they?
Yeah, listen, I think Aberdeen can't be in any better a place at this moment in time to take on Celtic in a semi-final as well. So we talked about the adrenaline, the occasion, the opportunity as well. As I said before, if they win the game, they'll probably fancy themselves going and win the cup. So they're in a good place, but I get it. Celtic are a different level. They've got some top-class players, and I think if Celtic play it there, potential, they will win the game.
Thank you very much to Mark, who was on the line there and giving us his thoughts on the game tomorrow.
What about that win?
Ugly.
I think
awful.
Philippe Clement takes a win like that on Sunday. Really ugly and horrible.
I'm sure he does. Someone tell me how many games have been played in the Championship this season. Well, what's remarkable is how bad's that.
Listen,
he was worse.
You put me under pressure by putting the countdown on.
I looked at it when you wrote 38.
Well, why did
goals?
You know? Listen, it's still one up the road.
I mean, each team's played 11.
Ex-teammates in that.
You two are ex-teammates?
Yes.
Obviously. And we both played for like 43 clubs each. Probably more than once, no? Hibs?
No, just Hibs.
No, Hibs.
Only Hibs? That's genuinely a surprise.
That's when Hibs were a brilliant team, I've got to say. That was a good side.
Oh, you both.
No, I was on the bench. Listen,
I was going to say you both... yearning for those days. You still worried about being down the bottom?
I watch Hibs and I really do worry. You reflect back to that period and the players they had then. Obviously yourself, McGinn, McGeoch in midfield, and then the defence, and we'd have struggled for years. It was Louis Stevenson, Hanley, McGregor, and then David Gray at right back, and it's just night and day from
now. I'll tell you how far it's fallen.
Night and day.
Another colleague of yours, Marvin Bartley, was in here celebrating a 0-0 draw at Ross County on Wednesday night.
Wow.
He was delighted.
Because of clean sheet?
He thought, and off the bottom of the table. Is that where the bars slipped to?
Jeez.
Scary stuff. It's 9 goals scored.
There are league games this weekend. It's easy to forget because of the hype around the cup semi-finals, but home against Dundee United, a quick rematch for the shambles from a Hibs perspective at Tannadice a couple of weeks ago. Massive, isn't it? Again, you know, especially home.
Every game's huge.
Because it's supposed to be an advantage, that, but then it brings its own pressures, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, obviously the crowd have been kind of venting their frustration in terms of the performances. Don't get me wrong, I think obviously the draw against Hearts and then obviously a clean sheet following that does put them in a decent place coming into this weekend, only if they win, and that's the most important thing.
Yeah,
big game, isn't it?
Massive game. Big game for Dundee United to get a reaction after their disappointment midweek as well. But just look, I know you say that the draw against Hearts, but they concede too many late goals, too many soft goals as well.
But that's why I felt Wednesday was a step forward. So if they came out at the end of this week with a win against Dundee United, it's two good draws, and then if it's a win.
Yes.
Let's stick with that first semi-final for now. Brendan Rodgers, let's hear from him. He believes Aberdeen's resurgence can sort of help the competition, help his own team improve. He welcomes the challenge ahead of this weekend.
Yeah, I think it's brilliant. I think it's great. I think whether it's football or whether it's business, any competition is healthy, and that's what makes you better. You know, you'll always drive your own standards and your own standard of performance, absolutely. Competition is really, really healthy and can keep moving you forward. And Aberdeen are up there fighting as well, and everyone will expect Rangers to be there at some point, and there'll be other teams, and the more competitive, then of course that can improve you.
01419511025, that is the number that you need. Always, you know, the sort of way that this competition comes in the season, we always talk about it being a chance to lay down a marker and that sort of stuff, and I think that has worked in the past, but we've spent over an hour talking about Rangers. Maybe that's the bit that it didn't actually work out that way last season. It's great to get it, but then, you know, you still have work to do thereafter. I'm just conscious of the time. Let's squeeze in another call in with Martin, who is an Aberdeen fan. Martin, you must be feeling absolutely over the moon with the way things are. Can that continue tomorrow?
Firstly, Gordon, I'm over ecstatic. I'm overjoyed. It's just, I've been on quite a few times talking to you and sure, and all that kind of stuff, and I've stayed on the same track where I think we can do something seriously special this season. And that's a wee bit, excuse me, disheartening when you hear everybody mocking Aberdeen and they're still no as good as Rangers or still no good as Celtic. I respect Celtic. I really, really do respect Celtic. But tomorrow's game is a one-off. And what we done, and what Jimmy Tilleen has done ever since he's come in, and Cammy can vouch for me, he's made the changes at the right time. The substitutes. Now, when Rangers overpowered us for 20, 25 minutes on Wednesday night, Jimmy Tilleen brought on three substitutes. Morris and the other two boys. And Morris made an impact straight away. And that's what he done with Dundee United, if you remember. And he done it with Duke and Palaversa to get us the winner against Hearts. I think we've got a really good chance. I'm no slagging Celtic. They're a fantastic team. They're a good team. They're the standard bearers in Scottish football. But I think we, under Jimmy Tilleen, has brought a confidence in the team that I've no seen since Derek McInnes, Gordon.
Yeah, the way, and Martin hits on some names there that really sum up, again, to link it to Rangers, I know it's not all about that, but just this notion of what can a manager do to players that are, you know, that are there? Can you make them better, or can you provide a system that allows them to flourish more? Shaden Morris scores a winner the other night. Been there for 2 years. Yep. Been an Aberdeen player for 2 years, and one that did not look like he would have an Aberdeen future. This guy didn't sort of have that level of criticism at all, but still, talk about Nicky Devlin. I mean, how good is he at the moment? And that's obviously because, credit to him, of course, but you need then that platform to go and do it.
Yep. I think for me, we touched on it at the top of the show, the difference between him and Philippe Clement was the improvement in the players and giving them a structure to go and thrive under. You can see that. I think the most telling thing for me is the confidence in Martin's voice and the belief in his side. Obviously, coming up against Celtic, who is maybe the best Brendan Rodgers, most consistent Brendan Rodgers side we've seen in at least a few years anyway. So I think that's very telling for me, how confident Martin feels in this side that Jimmy Tilleen has put together. So listen, for me, yes, it's a one-off game, but I feel because of the structure that Celtic play off and the quality of players, and they've got some real quality, different physical attributes all throughout their squad. They've got Carter Vickers coming back. I still think Celtic would be favourites, but you can't obviously write off the belief that this Aberdeen side have.
I think, listen, you look at Aberdeen's team, talking about managers and Jimmy Tilleen, and again, one player, Duke. So Duke goes AWOL, right? And it would be quite easily just to put him to the side and say, you're never playing for Aberdeen again. Obviously, the manager's seen something in him, and the way that he's bedded him back in with again, not too much noise around it, that he almost just slotted back in after, again, going AWOL for a few months, which is incredible. And he's now starting games of football for Aberdeen because he's so important. But again, Morris came on, had a real impact, as Martin said. His substitutions are really good. He made them, obviously, at Celtic Park, which changed the game when they were 2-0 down. So, and Kerskinen, I think, is a really good sign. And I think he's come in. He's a top player. So they are a threat. Yes, Celtic are favourites, but I definitely wouldn't write off this Aberdeen team.
Well, thank you, Martin. 01419511025. Not only for personal reasons, for professional ones, Motherwell fans, I'd love to know how you're feeling ahead of this weekend, because it's very easy to hear all the sort of Rangers in crisis, Rangers weak, Rangers there to be taken advantage of. Is that the case? Is it the perfect chance to go and cause the shock and beat Rangers at Hampden and get to the final? Or, in a roundabout way, are these the ones that worry you when everyone's expecting you to go and do something? Give us a call right now. And how do you feel about Lennon Miller? 18 years of age, and he will captain the team as announced by his manager already at Hampden on Sunday. Give us a call just now and we'll look at that next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Looking ahead to a big weekend of League and Cup action with Cammy Bell and Scott Allen. Please do give us a call. Been very busy on the phone lines already. Keep them coming. I did say before the break we were going to hear from or look at the situation in the Motherwell camp. So Motherwell fans, how do you feel? Is it as simple as Rangers are in a bad place and that gives you a great chance? Or have they definitely got a point to prove and this weird expectation that will be on you from some people makes it a bit more of a complex situation? Let us know how you feel. Are you confident or not, Motherwell fans? And what about Lennon Miller being the captain at the age of 18 for this weekend? I've got a great teaser for you. The thing that worries me, the question's quite complex, right? I'm glad Gordon DL's not here. I'd have to repeat this 15 times, but I'm confident in you two, even after your Beat the Pundit performance, okay. Cammy Bell. So the question is this, and thanks to all of you who send your questions in, it's much appreciated as always. It's fulltime@clyde1.com, fulltime@clyde1.com, if you want to submit a question. I think this is another of your crazy ponies, it is, who sent this one in, and he'll be gutted because this is a really long, well-researched question and I've just chopped it to make it easier for you to.
Okay.
For each of the League Cup semi-finalists, name the last non-Scottish former player to score in the Champions League.
Oh, it's the last one.
For each of the League Cup semi-finalists, the last non-Scottish former player to score in the Champions League. So to state the obvious, if we were starting tomorrow, who is the last non-Scottish former Celtic player to score in the Champions League? Do the same for Aberdeen, same for Motherwell, same for Rangers.
Scott McDonald, Motherwell.
Yes, that man's got it straight away. I love that. So the last non-Scottish former Motherwell player to score in the Champions League is Scott McDonald. Brilliant from you. Honestly,
not bad at the teasers.
I'm very impressed with you. Very, very impressed. Cammy, anything? So
no
far?
I've got one for Celtic.
The good news is you've only got,
but I don't think
just
you
wait. Think about it a bit more, because you've only got three to get now. Thanks to the Crazy Pony again. And if you like the sound of that, you think you could come up with a question, fulltime@clyde1.com, fulltime@clyde1.com, if you want to send them in, and please do. Waiting on Motherwell fans to phone in if they fancy it. How do you see that, Cammy? Put yourself in their shoes, if you like. That outside noise, this notion of crisis Rangers, and therefore it makes it easier. Rangers still favourites, I take it, you know, and so what does that mean as a Motherwell in the Motherwell camp?
No, listen, I think Motherwell know the quality that Rangers have, but they're not in a good place confidence wise. They know the pressure's going to be on them, so it's about managing that. I don't, like, listen, see, if you keep the game tight and you don't concede in the first 30 minutes, then the crowds will start to rumble from the Rangers' perspective. And listen, Motherwell are in a good place as well. They had a good result midweek. They've had a great start to the season. So they'll be wary of Rangers' threats, and they'll understand that they still are underdogs. But I think they'll look at it as players and think there's an opportunity there to get to a final.
Well, I think for me, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Gordon, I think Motherwell went to Hampden against Rangers earlier in the season with five or six first team players out injured and put on a very good account of themselves. And that might have been something that kick-started their season, because they had so many injuries at the time. So for me, I feel they won't say it publicly, but I think they'll be smelling blood.
So you would rather that maybe this, to spin it this way, it does become obvious then. Maybe I'm thinking more of as a stressed out, nervous fan. But as a player, you'd rather face a Rangers team that looks the way it does rather than a team that's coming into it flying.
Yeah, and all the things that Cammy touches on, I mean, how the game goes early doors in terms of 30 minutes in, are we still in the game? Are you frustrating them? They're all the things that can then lead to upsets of the sort. So there'll be things that Mother will be looking at. Don't let Rangers get into their rhythm. What that rhythm will look like on Sunday from a Rangers point of view, it's anybody's guess if we're going on previous performances. So that's it, stay in the game, frustrate Rangers, and then as the game goes on, feel the frustration from the Rangers fans and look to catch Rangers on the counter attack, because they do have pace in their team now and have quality where they can find their passes.
Yeah, look, you can't argue with the league position for sure. I mean, you look at that going up to fourth, only is it 3 points, behind Rangers. Yep. So in that regard, Mother, I guess, would be quite well placed, Cammy, but I just, the natural food chain of things in Scottish football, I just wonder what it would take for it to be even close in terms of who's actually considered favourites.
No, listen, there's no getting away from it. Rangers are favourites. They're favourites, and that doesn't matter what type of form they're in at the moment. And again, I think Motherwell players will be quite happy with that. They don't want to go into the game favourites against Rangers. I think they'll know, as Scott said, they will smell blood. They'll know the players will be anxious about the game. It's not as if they're going into the game full of confidence. The fans are all behind them. There's a lot of unrest at the club. So Motherwell need to feed off that. They need to, as I said, it's really important they don't concede early, because the longer that game goes on, that Motherwell are still in the game, the more frustrated the Rangers fans will get, and that will play into the Motherwell players' hands.
At the very, very, very least, I know everybody's been banging on all week about Rangers' deficiencies. Surely this Rangers team have it within them somewhere to start fast, or at least look like they can start, show something in those early stages.
They need to. They owe it to the fans now, obviously, after recent domestic performances, that they need to start fast. They need to show.
Because you know what I mean? By that, I don't mean they're guaranteed to take the lead early, but just that. Like you did see maybe in the Bucharest game or whatever. You know, and I know Europe can be different, but on the back of Kilmarnock, where it just looks like you've at least got a point to prove.
Yeah, I think in terms of what the Rangers fans are expecting, that's a given this Sunday. It is in every game, but even especially this Sunday, because of the performance during the week, the league position, the chance to get to another final. Rangers need to start fast. It's not a question if will they, I think, for me.
High pressure, high intensity. That's what they need to start the game with. They need to put Motherwell right under pressure. Don't let them out. Loads of energy in the game as well, because that's what's been lacking.
I wonder how the current picture though will play itself out in terms of the atmosphere for Motherwell fans. They're buzzing about this, and this is a cup semi-final, and they've sold over 8,000 tickets, and the whole community's buzzing about it. If you're a Rangers fan and you're not that bothered, and you've kind of seen semi-finals before, and this team's much worse than the teams you've seen previously, and it's not in your season ticket, I don't think Rangers ticket sales are that high, but I'm not 100%. It might there just be that flatness?
Potentially, but it's up to the players to. They can't rely on that. They need, like I said, I feel like the players and the management owe it to the fans, that the players have got to go out and play for their futures, in my opinion.
Now let's hear a bit from Stuart Kettlewell heading into this one.
Listen, I believe we're punching above our weight. We played them earlier in the season before the kind of mass hysteria, and I believe there was an opportunity to try and win the game of football. I don't see a greater opportunity than any time that we've played them before. And again, contrary to what a lot of people think, for Motherwell to try and progress in this competition, I believe would be a huge upset. I think Rangers would be massive favourites, but we don't tell ourselves that. We don't think along those terms.
I get that. That's kind of just covering both bases there. I think you said Rangers are favourites, but we're not thinking of it that way. I get what he means. What did you make of the fact that 18-year-old Lennon Miller, who you may have heard of, is going to lead the team out as captain? So not only is that going to happen, that in itself, but they've sort of, you know, made an announcement of it, if you like, days before.
Yeah, it's interesting that they've obviously announced that. I think it's great for Lennon Miller to go out and be captain. For me, he fully deserves it because he's a fantastic young player. And again, is it Motherwell being a little bit cute and again just giving him that little bit more?
Are you trying to say they're
that
boosting
extra million pound
up the,
price
yes,
tag, the price tag? A little bit more on his CV than he already has. He's got an incredible CV, but no, I think it's great for him personally. I think it's really good that he leads his team out. He comes across as a leader, even so young. I think he definitely will be a leader going forward. So it's a great opportunity for the kid.
We'll never know how this stuff plays itself out, but I suppose the obvious pitfalls of all this would be, oh, you know, is the hype getting a lot? Is it too much pressure? Does it detract away from, you know, from his game? But then, on the other hand, have we seen any even small suggestion that anything fazes him yet, you know, up to this point?
It just seems really, really measured. The thing for me is his composure when he's playing football. I think, ultimately, his manager giving them the captaincy, considering there's a lot of experienced players in there who have been captains, obviously. Andy Hardy, who's been captain before at Rangers, Liam Gordon, I'm sure at St Johnstone when they won the cup doubles. So it tells you, I think that kind of speaks volumes that his manager's entrusted him with that responsibility and think it might take him to the next level. And listen, you only have to listen to guys like Paul McGinn and Andy speak about him and how highly they rate him. They believe he is the real deal.
I think also I don't make an apology for this. It's the supply and demand nature of it. You know, obviously we spend a lot of our time talking about Rangers and Celtic and whether that's good things, bad things, dramas, injuries. You know, when Celtic and Rangers have injuries, we bang on about it. And almost then you ignore the fact that when the smaller teams have got it, it's actually a bigger deal because they don't. Yep. So we're all talking about Rangers and where they're at form-wise and what a chance this gives Motherwell, who have to get into a cup final and semi-final, wishful thinking there. great for Lennon Miller. But going to that game without Paul McGinn and Stephen O'Donnell, that's massive. That's a huge duo, experience, leadership, the form they've shown this season.
Yeah, a huge chunk, a huge blow for them. And you're right enough saying that. Again, you forget these things because we get so focused on Rangers and Celtic. But that's a massive blow for Motherwell. They need to handle it. It's maybe just given Lennon that captaincy, has given the whole squad a boost because he's so consistent as a player, and as Scott says, so composed on the pitch. I think he does lead by example, even when he's not got the captaincy. I think I watch him on a game, and he certainly leads by example. I'm pretty sure Stuart Kettlewell's hoping that happens on Sunday. But yeah, it's a massive miss. You can't replace that experience, especially in a semi-final as well.
I think, possibly stating the obvious, is it going to be a case of just leading by example as a performer? I mean, I think we've all... He's a quiet guy. He's not going to start bawling and shouting at Liam Gordon and Dan Casey and grabbing them in the tunnel or anything like that. It's just going to be about sort of inspiring by his performance.
The way he demands the ball, I think even at that though, the Motherwell players are looking for him for the ball. It says such a lot about the ability that he has. It can take it under real pressure. That's the one thing I really like about him in terms of a young Scottish midfielder taking it in the jungle, as I call it, where there's bodies all round about you and they're trying to steal the ball off you. And he is so composed in these situations and looks after it really well. Great pass of the ball, set pieces as well, which are a huge thing and can kind of sum up, can be the difference in these type of semi-final games. And he's a specialist from set pieces, it looks like to me.
Give us all your thoughts. I was going to say, I know for a fact you Rangers fans, I'm doing a Hugh Keevans here, I'm going to speak on behalf of all of you. I know you'll have thoughts on this. James Tavernier spoke to the press today, as the captain sort of often does in times like these, and he was asked how he felt about his own form this season, because I know you all have your thoughts. Here's what he had to say.
I felt I've been pretty good this season. There's been a bit of a dry spell when, if you want to say, goals, but I'm obviously just trying to create as many chances as possible, and obviously try to reduce as much as we can going going against our goal. So physically, I feel really good. You know, I feel that I get stronger and stronger all the time. You know, it's nothing new for me to play. If it's 60 games a season, you know, I can do that physically. It's just about me, you know, making sure my footballing's right and just my demand on myself, so it can obviously reflect on others.
Is that something you would agree with? Give us a call right now and we'll speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final putt. Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It's been a busy show, very fast, I have to say. Keep the calls coming. Played an interesting clip, and there is a bit of naughtiness in there, I think, because I think everybody knows why it was interesting, because loads of people will disagree, and maybe that's why the question was asked, and it's difficult for players. I acknowledge all that. But just before the break, James Tavernier saying he thinks he's been pretty good this season, and I just wondered if you agreed or disagreed, Rangers fans. So give us your thoughts there ahead of the weekend's action. 01419511025. Before I get your answer to that, you two, how are you doing in this teaser? Great question. For each of the League Cup semi-finalists, who is the last non-Scottish former player to score in the Champions League? It's always easy when you've got one of the answers, i.e. Motherwell's is Scott McDonald. So the last non-Scottish former player to score in the Champions League, as for Motherwell, Scott McDonald. Celtic, Aberdeen, Rangers.
I've got a guess for Celtic. Joe Inge Berget?
No.
Malmo, no.
It's more obvious than that in terms of profile. Champions League games. Maybe not so much.
Van Dijk.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Virgil Van Dijk.
Is the Rangers one difficult?
Define difficult. Difficult in the sense of, no, I'll tell you what, I'll flip that the other way. Easy in terms of recency.
They play for Real Sociedad?
No. You thinking Sadiq?
Yeah.
Porto?
Nope.
Ajax?
It's more recent than all of those ones that you're thinking of. Okay, I'll leave it there. Any inclination on Aberdeen's? Who's the last non-Scottish?
James Sam Madison? Lammers?
Nope.
Lammers?
I like your thinking there, though. Okay, we are very much on the right lines with that. I'll leave it there for now. Let's go back to the phones in a second. 01419511025. If you want, let's squeeze one more in before the weekend action commences. We'll get back to that in just a second. We heard from Stuart Kettlewell. We heard from James Tavernier. What do you two think? I'll be up front. Like you obviously, the person who asked the question, I can't remember who it was, probably kind of knows what they're doing. I kind of know the response I'm going to get when I ask it, but I ask it anyway. To hear James Tavernier, bearing in mind you've been in this show a long time, you know how it works, for me to play that clip and him say, I think I've been pretty good this season, and then go on to explain why, many people out there would agree?
Not many, but I can totally understand in his shoes. If someone was to ask me that question, you're taught from a young age, growing up playing football, to back yourself. You're not going to turn around as Rangers captain and say, not very good. Especially when you're trying to gain a bit of confidence and get the form that the fans have seen you over the years.
Mm-hmm. So I think it's a hard question.
He might not, it's a really difficult
believe
question.
It, or does he believe it?
No, that's the answer, as someone growing up playing football and something. Mm.
Right, okay,
you're not going to turn around and say no.
Okay, I'll media train you then, you former footballers.
Okay.
You're right. But why do you always act like there are only two options?
Do I
expect James Tavernier to say, I've been rotten this season? Absolutely not. Could James Tavernier, to stop people jumping all over the comment like they're gonna, have said, well, do you know what? Whether I'm good or bad, we're in this as a team. This is a team effort, and clearly as a team we've had some good performances like X, Y, and Z, but we've had some low moments as well, and we'll pull this way together. To be honest, I don't think it's all about me.
No, I think, listen, that is the ideal answer. That is, you need to get in there and do some media training.
No, because actually I can't, because I want players to say interesting things. So
no, listen, I agree with Scotty, because if you get asked that question, that is a difficult question. You need to think on your feet, and Tav's obviously backing himself. And listen, it's not all down to one person, one player, and I think that's what you're getting to, that it is a team thing. It's a group thing. It's not just a team thing. It's not just the players. It's the group. It's the management staff. Everyone isn't doing enough at the moment, or it's not working at the moment for Rangers as a football club, because they're sitting so far off the top of the table. That is a really hard question for Tav to answer.
There's no way he's expected that question either, and it just came at him that fast, I think.
Yeah, I'm a bit torn on that, because I get it again, like I said, when you sit, if it's him and somebody goes, how do you think you've performed this season? It can be seen as quite leading, but to be fair, that's not a hugely alien question to ask. The last Rangers player to sit in the press conference was a couple of days ago. It was Nadim Barami, mm-hmm. and someone said to him, how do you think you've played since you got here? So it's not that out of the ordinary. We then project it onto it because you
but it
know
is, it is because you know he, it seemed that
so you, but that's you that's saying he's underperforming then.
I think what he has said is that he's open to playing 60 games a season. He said that in his comments. Yep. Obviously he got left out of the game at the weekend.
But that's what I'm saying. See, for many people then, that's the bit that he's saying, I feel great physically and I'm getting stronger and I could play all these games. A lot of Rangers fans just don't agree with that. Just
you're not going to say that you don't.
You introduced that bit though. You can just no touch the subject.
I understand. Maybe he does feel that. Maybe he's just out of form. Okay. Do you know what I mean? Players do drop their form, so he maybe does physically feel absolutely fine and thinks I can go another 60 games, but his form's dipped. But he's not the only player.
Let's bring in John, who's a Rangers fan. What's on your mind tonight, John?
Just the manager. It's been a little many things after Steven Gerrard left. You could go through Giovanni von Bockhorst, got us to a European final, got rid of because they wanted Michael Beale. Michael Beale got given open checkbook, got rid of him quite quickly. This guy's going to end up getting ready quite quickly. It's the decisions coming through the board is farcical. You could even make the point that we've not even bought a really good player apart from Jack Butland since Steven Gerrard left. It's honestly farcical what this board is doing and what we've become as a club. It's mistake after mistake after mistake. There's not been one single thing that have sustained success. You go right, we're coming on to something, we're going somewhere. There's nothing there for the future that you can say, you could hold your hat on. There's nothing there. Anything you can say, we don't have a lot of money. Aberdeen didn't have a lot of money. Rebuilt their squad by £2 million. Players needing to gel in quicker. Again, same with Aberdeen. Where are they and where are we? We're closer to the bottom than we are to them. That says all you need to know.
Yeah, I mean, to bring it up to this weekend specifically, John, do you then worry that it gets even worse on Sunday, or do you think Rangers will come through it? And I mean, if they don't, would that be the tipping point if we've not reached it already?
I think there's got to be something in his contract that's saying if you don't do X, Y and Z, then that triggers a release clause. If he loses on Sunday, there's no way he can survive. He has to go. There's no way he can survive. And me just naming Steven Gerrard there, he just go, I think there was something in the media, he got sacked. I'd bring him back right now. Honestly, I really would. But it's, what do you do? You can't just keep sacking managers all the time, but is it all Philip Clement, or is it a mixture of things? I think myself, my fellow Rangers fans, as long as you can hold on to something, you can say, right, I can see something, I can see a wee bit of progress, I can see what we're trying, maybe it's not working, because we waited a wee bit with Steven Gerrard, because we could see how it was progressing. He's nearly halfway through the season, and he's saying players are still gelling. It's just mad, some of the things he's coming at me.
Where do you stand on that notion? Because it is one you just keep hearing. Rangers cannot keep sacking managers. So how do you balance that with Clement must go, that people keep telling us? Which is it?
Well, ultimately, I think the fans will decide that, depending how restless it gets if performances don't improve. Unfortunately, for a lot of Rangers fans, Rangers are stuck with all these players until January, and even when that comes, we don't know how much money Rangers will have to spend and maybe restructure a lot of players into this kind of new look they're going down. And I know Philip Clement keeps on going on about the new players. Eight players who were there before him starting Wednesday night. I think that's very telling. The points the caller makes about what Jimmy Tielen's done in the short space of time, that's the problem now for Rangers and Philip Clement, because they can compare it against something else at a much a much smaller degree in terms of what wages are getting paid in transfer fees.
Thank you very much to John. It's almost time for us to bid you good night. But before then, for each of the League Cup semi-finalists, who was the last non-Scottish former player to score in the Champions League? So Celtic's is Virgil van Dijk. He's the last former non-Scottish Celtic player to score in the Champions League. For Motherwell, it's Scott McDonald. What about Rangers and Aberdeen?
You give us a club that they're playing, they scored for.
How's this for you then?
Right, okay.
Aberdeen's is Celtic. Who's the last non-Scottish?
Liam Scales.
Liam Scales.
Ah, okay. Yes.
I'm disappointed in you, Scott Allen, with your knowledge of the Rangers one, especially because you've hit the post. Or you've hit one just past with Sam Lammers. Everything about it is the same time here last season, gone but scored in the Champions League. Who are the Champions League surprise packages of this season? Surprise package.
Vladimir Weiss.
No. There's young Josh who's sitting watching the show has got it. He's actually trying to show you a picture
when he's got that thing on his phone.
He's trying to show you a picture of the guy. He's even got it in the corner of the studio. Come on.
I can't see that.
Oh, Seema.
Seema. Breast. For Breast. There we go. He's flying. They're flying, aren't they? Brilliant. Okay. We got there. What a big weekend it's going to be. Really looking forward to it. League Cup semi-finals. Big games in the Premiership. Big games down the leagues as well. We are back. We're here Saturday and Sunday. So tomorrow, 2 o'clock, we will meet you here. And in the meantime, the GBX is up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now.